Welcome to Breaking Barriers. You know your path. We know the obstacles. And we can teach you how to tear them down. And now your host, CEO and founder of Adapting Social, John Vigero.
All right, welcome back to Breaking Barriers. Just so you know, of course, if you're better going on something, this is your camera here. If you want to go on a rant, I have a feeling you want some big rants today. So we got Jenny James. What a name. Jenny James.
Thanks to my husband.
Two first names.
It was very Spanish. It was Alvarado. So we went from long and Spanish to simple Jenny James.
Jenny James. So one-stop shop rentals.
One-stop hop party rentals.
I'm sorry, hop. Thank you.
Yes.
So one-stop hop.
Yes.
So how did you get into this business, you know, to begin with?
Oh, okay. Simple answer, and usually a lot of people are very surprised by this.
Yeah.
This was all my husband's idea.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, I like it.
So this is new. This is not like what my career was.
Okay.
I was, and just to give you a little bit of background, I was in finance for over 15, 16 years.
Oh, wow.
Just took the big leap of faith, which we can get into that. But this was in 2017. We're both in finance and banking.
Yeah.
And we knew we just needed to generate additional streams of income.
Right.
But it had to be something that made sense for our family dynamics, working full time,
right,
having four kids, one that I birthed.
Okay.
I didn't push out four.
I was like, good for you. Let's go.
I have one kid, 14 okay. years old.
Yep.
And there was a lot of brainstorming going on.
Mm.
And he came up with this whole idea of bounce houses.
Mm.
And I was like, now, you know, bounce houses are trending now.
Yes, they are.
But before, you see bounce houses at block parties,
right,
you know, at the school events.
Right.
And I was like, And he kept on pushing the idea on me. And I was still like, I wasn't seeing the vision.
Yeah.
I kept on giving him a lot of pushback. And one day he said, babe, I think we can do this. And it'll work perfect because events tend to take place on the weekend.
Right.
It won't take away from our, you know, weekday work.
Right.
And
what does he do?
I just need you to support me. I was like, oh, fuck. He's a branch manager.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's gone through his various roles in the banking industry
okay.
as well.
Got
well.
It.
So that's
okay.
where he's at now.
Got it.
So long story short, I was like, okay, if you're insisting, it
right.
was one of those.
Okay.
So kind of held his hand through everything, you know, it's helped me, but I ended up doing a lot of this stuff.
Right. Oh my goodness.
But, he's a great business partner, right?
Yeah.
I feel like not every couple can work together.
Yes.
He lets me take the lead on a lot of stuff, which I think is why we don't bump heads as
okay.
often as we possibly could.
Yeah.
But it truly started from that. We were just doing bounce houses, like tables and chairs, you know, popcorn, cotton candy machines.
Mm.
And we officially launched in 2018, and it kicked off well. I mean, I still remember our first phone call from Google, and I was like,
right.
oh, my God. and then COVID happened, right? A lot of businesses struggled during COVID, and
right.
believe it or not, we didn't.
Right.
You know, everyone was going towards the outdoor events. Venues
yeah.
were shut down.
Right.
But
right.
in the events rentals industry, we were more outdoor event based as opposed to indoor event based because
right.
we had the massive bounce houses and the folding tables and chairs.
Right.
So in turn, we ended up being incredibly busy during
right.
COVID. Everyone was having their gatherings at home. And through all of that, we were able to scale the business. Right. So now we've grown exponentially. We have a warehouse now.
Oh, amazing.
Three vehicles. We started like delivering these massive bounce houses in my SUV, like
oh
trying to shove
goodness.
It in, right? And you know, over the years we've been able to scale. So it's taken time.
Yeah, as it does. As it does.
It's taken a lot of time, investing, building the right relationships.
Yep.
But we're here. We're growing, we're scaling,
yeah.
and hopefully some more exciting things to come for us.
Now, so you do this full-time now?
So I do this full-time now.
What about him?
He's not doing it full-time.
Okay, so you're in it.
I'm in it to
Got
win it.
It. Got it.
And we have a team now.
Good.
We have a team.
Good.
So
okay, that's really cool.
Yes.
So now, what would you, if you could go back to the beginning of the business, day one, knowing what you know now, what would you tell yourself?
What would I tell myself? So I think this is beyond the business, right? This is, it stems into the professional entrepreneurial world, but I think this is more of a personal thing for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Having confidence in my competence.
Mm.
I think my husband's my biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
Right? I have a great circle of friends, but my husband is the one from, we actually met in banking.
Oh, no kidding.
We never actually worked together, but we met in banking, okay. And this was going to be 12 years now. But I've always lacked confidence, right? Mm. I've always been a top seller because I was a banker as well. I've always been a high performer, working full time, obtaining my degree, studying for my Series 763 life and health licenses, right? But even through all of that, I've always struggled with self-confidence. Mm. And I think my lack of confidence has hindered me in some ways.
Okay.
So it is something that I feel I've growing through. I continue to grow through.
Yeah.
I do have a therapist.
Oh, good.
I'm very big on advocating for mental health
because me
that
too.
Has a lot with my transition into the entrepreneurial world.
Mm. It's not easy.
Yes. It actually came unexpectedly, the full-time transition.
Right.
But it was all as a result of that.
Wow.
So
now when it comes to, the mental health component of it, is it something where, you needed that because of how hard or the shift or it wasn't corporate or what made you need that support?
All right. I probably want to stem back to talking about my upbringing a bit.
Okay.
So I grew up in like a extremely economically depressed family that struggled from drug and alcohol addiction.
Yep.
Didn't live the ideal life, right? I'm talking about sleeping with mice like over my shoulder on the couch or like waking up to water bugs on me and
oh my goodness.
Brushing my teeth with a bar of soap that like me and my sister are like sharing the same toothbrush, stealing electricity from buildings. So point being, I didn't grow up in the most typical dynamics for anyone.
Yeah.
I think that's played a huge part of how I ended up in like my little mental health crisis.
Okay.
So I've always needed to be resilient through all of that and needing to overcome adversity because I was constantly, by the time I turned 18, I lived in over 10 different homes, right? Okay. Between evictions and living with friends, thank God their families took me in as their own.
Yeah.
So from a young age, I was like, okay, this is exactly what I don't want to be.
I get
right?
it. Yeah.
So in pushing academically and trying to like figure out life, I knew I wanted to do more, but I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And when I landed my job in banking, I was like, I would see like the branch manager and like the big bosses coming in and the bankers. I was a teller,
right?
And I'm like, wow, maybe I want to be that when I grow up, right? So I would bust my ass day in and day out. I was doing that and working overnight at Abercrombie & Fitch on 56th and 5th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I worked at the Citibank on 42nd and Madison.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, I'm talking about days where I'm getting to work at 8 a.m., leaving at 6 o'clock, going to Abercrombie at 8 o'clock.
Oof.
So I have that two-hour gap.
Yeah.
And then I'm leaving there at 2 a.m.
Wow.
To start my day all over again.
Wow.
Right?
So just grinding. So,
it was just a grind. And eventually I left Abercrombie because I was like, this is
too much.
That's too much.
Yeah.
But I worked my way up the corporate ladder. And it wasn't easy for me. I was young. I was 19. I was like a young Latina amongst like predominantly male Caucasian, industry.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of adversity that I had to come.
Yeah.
Overcome. But with that came a lot of the sleepless nights, a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the struggles. And, up until I left, I was actually a vice president, senior manager for product development and management at XYZ Private Bank, right?
Congrats on that, getting yourself to that point.
Thank you.
That's really exciting.
Yeah. So I became a VP at 27. And I feel like even at that point, I put so much pressure on myself because in getting into that role and title, the district manager, my branch manager was very close to me.
Yeah.
And she was like, listen, he feels like you're not the right fit because you don't have the look. because I work downtown Brooklyn. There's a lot of attorneys, judges, and here I am as a whole 20-year-old.
Like, I'm
going to be a relationship manager managing millions of dollars, right?
Right.
But I went in there and I knocked it out, but I fucking killed myself. I was in school as well. And it just continued, right?
Right.
Then I got into the next promotion. I was getting another degree. I was studying for other licenses, and I was just beating myself.
Yeah.
And by the time I got into that position and overcoming the struggles of parenting as well.
How old is your child?
He's 14 now.
He's 14
he's
now.
A freshman.
So, okay, got it.
Yes.
Got it.
Long story short, it was 2022, I think. 2022? I don't know. The years are just like flowing into each other.
Yeah, right.
That's when I hit like a really bad mental breakdown.
Mm.
I was just between the working from home, the parenting, and the pressure and stress of my employer in that capacity.
Right.
It was eating me alive.
Mm.
So I ended up like I was gonna go to emergency that day because like I literally felt like I was dying.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It'll do that
knowing
to you.
That I had like a panic attack.
Yeah.
But I was very fortunate that I felt it coming.
Yeah.
I was referred to an amazing therapist, which I'm not seeing her right now, but I love her. She played such an instrumental role in my life.
Yeah.
And she was like, she's like, what is the biggest stressor right now? I said, I don't even feel like I can function to go back to work tomorrow. She was like, oh, no, you're not going back to work tomorrow or next week or the week after. She was like, you need to go on disability. Like, you're dealing with serious shit right now.
Right.
And it was through that I had to learn more about my own value.
Yeah.
Because I was killing it at my job. I was featured in Yahoo Finance like 2 months before as like one of the top 100 minority leaders.
Nice.
And it's all nice until like it looks good outside. But inside, you're fucking dying, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I left, and, like, my employer was just, like, doing shady shit. I went from, like, a top performer to, like, a good rating while I'm on disability.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? This is all happening for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
and you were at this point, like, you're commuting into New York at this point still?
Well, this was after COVID. So, like, we weren't really transitioned back into the office.
Okay.
But usually I would commute to New York.
Okay,
right? So that happened, and I was like, you know what? Maybe these are all signs.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
like, this is... So I was still on disability.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I need to focus on myself.
Yeah.
This therapy is doing so much to benefit me, and I feel like if I go back right now, I'm going to regress in so many ways. But it was at that point that I said to myself, no, it's time to put yourself first.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's actually just happened for me recently in life, right? So that's
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
And so that's why I say the confidence in my confidence. I know I'm capable in so much.
Yeah.
And my husband has always had to push me and be my cheerleader for me to feel it and believe it more.
Yes.
But now I'm starting to believe it and feel it for myself.
Mm.
So.
That's amazing. I want to say one thing real quick. So not as extreme, but I grew up with, you know, my dad had, you know, substance issues and, you know, and all that stuff. And it forced me to grow up early too. And like just hearing your story, what's so cool now that we can look back at it, right?
Yeah.
Because in it, it sucks.
Yeah.
There's no beating around that bush.
Nope.
But, you know, the one thing that I was at a Tony Robbins event, and essentially it was called Unleash the Power Within, a UPW event. So he's sitting there, and there's this one lady, essentially, who she had, oh my gosh, like her father was evil, like evil. I'm not going to say what he did to her. It was like, I cried, right, listening to it. Long story short, you know, this lady's this crazy successful business owner, right? And has a family and stuff, but she still goes through her demons from what she dealt with. And I get that from my own demons and whatever. But, you know, he sat there in front of 12,000 people in Newark Prudential Center, right? And he said to her, she went through her whole story and shit. And then he asked her about, you know, her successes, her failures, all that stuff. And then he said to her, he said, do you talk to your father? And she's like, no, I hate him, essentially. And so he goes, well, can I ask you a serious question? And I need you to be vulnerable. Would you be who you are today if it wasn't for your upbringing that you don't like?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she sat there and she wanted to say, like, no, right? I'm sorry, she wanted to say yes, I would have been anyway. But I feel like most of us who have that childhood that, like, you know, we wouldn't want, you know, our kids to experience, the toughest part about it and what she emulated to her was that if you're going to be, you know, grateful for the situation you have now in any capacity, you have to be grateful for your past, mm-hmm. even though it wasn't a beautiful thing.
Right.
And for me, I also, so but just background, I you know, suffered from anxiety my whole life, you know, based on my parents' situation and all stuff growing up and shit. And anyway, long story short, but like, you know, for me, I want to just commend you because ultimately, like, you know what? It's so tough when you're a kid and you're thinking shit like, well, why are these other kids having this and I can't do that?
Right.
You know,
but the
world doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know, you had a bigger purpose.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when God's putting that stuff in your life or life or universe, whatever people believe in, you know, it's like you go through those things because you have to be strong young.
Absolutely.
You know, so I commend you because obviously you grew your way up that chain in corporate America.
Right.
In the banking industry,
right.
Which isn't easy to do. No. Right. And I know firsthand because I have a lot of friends that are in, you know, that, again, used to work at TD Bank or work at this or that, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, at teller status all the way up, it's not like it's like, you know, you're getting paid a gazillion dollars, right?
Right.
So to work your way up, you got to really be in it to like want to still be there.
Right, right, right.
So anyway, I just wanted to give you shout out there because that's amazing.
Thank you.
A tough story, you know. I had somebody on my podcast too that you ever see the show Jackass, the movie Jackass?
Yes.
So one of the guys that was like really tight and like in a lot of them back in the day when they had the Bam Margera show, I forget the name of it, but what was it? Viva La Bam. Thank you. But this guy Brandon Novak, but and I keep bringing this up recently, I don't know why, but anyway, so he like had a really bad drug problem, mm. and he his mom had to literally buy potentially his start getting his gravestone built almost three times because he's in a coma, right?
No, long story wants short, to do that.
Oh my god, right? Could you imagine? Like, oh my, don't even want to say that.
Yeah.
But he said that I turned my misfortune into my fortune because now he's out there and he's speaking on stages for sobriety. And obviously he's already kind of like, you know, a reality TV star.
Yeah.
So people knew him, but now he's using it to like, you know, jetpack and propel helping other people.
Right.
But anyway, I feel like that's kind of like your story, right? Like, you know, and it's like you had those scenarios and, you know, had the things you had growing up, but, you know, not many people have either gone through that or will talk about it.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it makes me think like sometimes my husband, he's not only hearing the story, sometimes he sees certain things, right? And he's like,
of course,
wow. He tells me and my sister, like, how the fuck did you guys make it out of that,
right? Yeah.
And I think for me, it's kind of been a matter of, and again, it's something that I'm understanding more as an adult and as a parent,
right?
Just trusting the struggle, right?
Yeah.
And someone might hear that and be like, what do you mean trust the struggle?
Yeah.
It is my hardships that have shaped me into the resilient person I am. And I'm like, I wouldn't be as ambitious as I am right now.
Right.
If I hadn't gone through all of that.
Totally.
So, but yeah. Would I still want to reset a lot of things in my life? Yeah. Absolutely. However, it has shaped me.
Yes. And isn't that the tough balance?
Yeah.
You know, because if you didn't have it, you know,
it is.
Would you be you? I don't know.
Right.
But again, like I said, I commend you for it because it's not easy. Now, having that said, talk to me about your business. So for somebody watching this, they're like, well, you know, how do I like engage or what do you do? Give us a quick like high level.
Yeah. So I think.
And what areas you serve again and stuff.
Yep. So we serve New Jersey, New York, Connecticut and PA. Of course, minimums apply based on location.
Okay.
But I think the most critical factor for us has been establishing a network, establishing relationships. It's those relationships that have really driven our business.
Yeah.
But I think it's also, since COVID, I feel like the events industry has gotten extremely saturated.
Yeah.
So with that, it's kind of remembering why we got into it, what differentiates us, right?
Yeah.
I think we have, especially with our backgrounds, we have such a core focus on like client experience,
mm-hmm.
And we try our best to enhance that every year as much as possible. But those things have been really important for us in our business growth. And, you know, it's also a matter of knowing what your goals are. I think people are so wrapped up in social media.
So wrapped up.
Seeing what everybody else is doing and saying, you're not seeing the struggle. You're not seeing how long the person's been doing what they're mm-hmm. doing to get to where they're at. Like, success doesn't happen overnight.
No.
Right?
No.
So it's a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, just we try to be – I personally manage the social media right now.
Right.
But I try to just – I rarely go on my personal page, right? Because to me now, it's like it's about business. It's about promoting our product. It's about focusing on that.
Yeah.
But just staying in our lane of like, we know what our goals are. We know what we want to achieve over time, you know, short term and long term. And just staying focused and committed to that.
You
I
have
think
to.
That's been
you know,
huge for us.
It's really important. And the one thing I could say, so like I've been doing this for 15 years. My agency life. Yeah. And the one thing, so I'll never forget this. There's a couple, funny enough, that we work with in Georgia. And these guys are like rock stars. Like now their business, when we first met them, my gosh, years back, they were just similar situation. Like they were like the wife already was out of the job. He was like sick of his job. What he said was killing him, mm-hmm. right? Like, but he was in construction, crazy hours.
Oh,
cold,
so it might
hot.
Have literally been killing him.
Literally,
too.
He was like, "I gotta get out of this."
Yeah,
right. And long story short, I remember they did it the opposite way of most people, where it was like, you know, let me you know make enough money to leave or whatever. Like she was like, "I'm done with my shit." He was like, "I'm just gonna jump anyway. We'll see what happens." And when we first met them, I think they had maybe like they were doing like maybe like one or two, like maybe three parties like a month, right? Mm-hmm. That they were doing stuff to. And they do it full, like they're doing tents, they're doing everything, right?
Yeah.
And fast forward, you know, this is what I love about what I do is I get to watch the journey and be a part of it, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and last year, but in the beginning, there was two times where their electric got shut off, or their water got shut off in their house, gas. You know, car got repoed, mm-hmm. like real
the struggles
tough
you
shit.
Don't see on social
Correct.
Media,
right?
Right, the real shit,
right? Right. And you know, and we were working with them at that time, and it was like, come on, I gotta keep pushing, get out there, whatever else. And but the thing that I love about them, though, it reminds me kind of similar, like different stories, but like similar industry, was that now, right? Because they kept grinding, they kept their head down, they kept following, obviously, what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think you know, in 2023, I think they just crossed like 5 million in revenue.
Wow.
And but these are people who. Like, again, they were in a small little house. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have much, but they had a dream.
Yes.
You know, and they and it's funny because now when I talk to him about it, like the husband will be like, I don't know how I just jumped out of that job because like it was tight mm-hmm. as it is. So to like go all in like that, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's like, but that reminds me of like what you did over there, building your way all up the corporate ladder. And then going essentially back to square, it's ground zero.
Yeah.
Starting a new business.
Yeah.
You know, there's no titles in that world. Nobody cares who you are.
Right.
There's elbow grease involved. Yeah, you got to bring tents everywhere and stuff. You know, what, so, you know, with that said, where do you see your, you know, your business going in the next like 5 years? Where would you like it to be?
Where would I like it to be? Well, we are working on some next projects and initiatives.
Mm.
Can't discuss them just
Uh-oh,
yet.
DL.
But I think our goal every year, what we tend to do is we have meetings throughout the year, sometimes informal, but we kind of do like a SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So every few months we'll be like, all right, what's our strengths? What do we need to improve on? Like, where do we see the opportunities to grow?
Yep.
And sometimes we run with it right there. If it's, you know, something that requires immediate attention, immediate opportunity. But long term, we would love to be able to expand.
Mm.
And with that comes the ability to hire even more employees.
Yep.
Because the more employees, the more events we can take on,
yep.
the more
yep.
responsive we can be. You
yep.
know, as it hits busy season, it's still a battle.
Yeah.
Handling the volume that we receive.
Good.
And again, super grateful to even be there.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to have all the resources to like fully run a sustainable business, like where we can just like not have someone waiting more than 24 hours to hear back from us, right?
Mm.
So we really want to be able to create that experience over the years.
Yeah.
But we have some bigger things coming where we're exploring other options within the events industry. So we continue to scale.
Cool.
I just can't discuss
it. I like your discretion.
Right now. I just can't
like
discuss it. Very politically correct, right?
Oh, there we go. She's PR trained. But all right, so as we get close to the end here, I have two questions for you. Okay, one's difficult, and I would say one's medium.
Okay.
Which one do you want first?
Just throw it my way.
Well, the difficult
one. Don't tell me which is difficult and which is medium.
No, you got to pick. You got to pick.
Okay.
It's part of the exercise.
The difficult question.
Okay, good. Cool. I like it. When Sarah did it before, I was like, ooh. But so, you know, a lot of times we think about legacy, right? And people think about, like, what they want to be remembered by their predecessors and their family and whatever. And we think about it typically from where your feet are planted today and forward, right? So with this exercise, I want to reverse engineer that, right? So you looking ahead at what you've already, in theory, accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start using that thing I was using before. But I'm going to change it up. So I've been asking this question for like 3 years now, right? But I recently just changed up how I ask it. So now we're going to do a little exercise here. But so I'm going to paint it like a movie for you, okay? So your great-grandchild is visiting your gravestone.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously, so you're not here. What does that gravestone say? So who were you?
Man.
And now again, paraphrasing.
I was a badass mom.
Period.
Period.
Period. End of sentence.
I always say, and I'll try to answer the question to the best of my ability, because that's a loaded question.
Yeah.
I always say, to me, leaving a legacy is not just ensuring that my son, my grandkids are taken care of. To me, it's about the lives I've impacted, the people I've been there for.
Yeah.
And I think of what they would say about me in answering that question.
Yeah.
I've always been a very giving person, and I think that's why so much good comes back to me.
Mm.
So I continue to be that way. I love the youth. My son is on the football team.
Yeah.
They're always at my house. The entire team calls me Titi Jenny. Yeah. Right? And I've always, the younger generation has always gravitated to me.
Yeah.
And I for me, it's that impact that I'm able to leave behind and being able to be there for others.
Okay.
So I don't know how that would be phrased.
Well, I was gonna say, if you give me a phrase, give me a word, a phrase, give me something. Again, this is paraphrasing.
I mean, honestly, if I think of one word, I would think of authentic. I'm the same person with everybody.
No matter what.
No matter what.
That's a Latina
trait.
Take me
or leave me. That's a Latina trait. Take it or leave it.
Yep.
I always mean well.
Good.
You know, I have to say I have a big heart. I don't like to see people struggle, and that's because of my upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the reason why I'm so giving.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. No. That's really it.
So now to further, it's a two-parter.
Yes.
So now to further that little picture we just were viewing there. So now your great-grandchild is sitting there looking and seeing authentic, right? Or in some way it's saying authenticity, right? Mm-hmm. And now your son comes up behind and says, you know, I wish you met, you know, your great-grandmother. Here's what she was like. What would he say?
Oh, man. I'm goofy. I'm so goofy. I'm very goofy, but I think I have a balance, right? And my corporate friends that know me outside of work were always like, I don't know how you just like, I don't know if you call it code switching, but at work I was always very professional, but because of the environment I was in.
Yeah.
And outside of work, I'm just like a down-to-earth, very fun, quirky person.
Yeah.
That's why the kids like to be around me. But when I mean business, I mean business.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like there's a time to joke around, and my son knows the same thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes he'll be like, Mom, why are you so serious? Because now I'm not joking with you. Now it's time to be serious.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I think it would be a balance for my son.
Right.
You know, he would talk about how firm I can be.
Yeah.
Sometimes he says I'm mean, whatever the kids call you now.
So you got range.
Sometimes he
you
bros
range.
Me. He'd be like, bruh. I'm like, you can bruh me all you want, but you still got to do what I told you to do.
So what I love about that is that, you know, ultimately, like, that's how I am too, by the way. Like in work, like I can be dead serious.
Yeah.
Outside of work, I'm a big goofball. I like to have fun.
Yeah,
I like to have a good time.
Yep.
But, you know, it's good to have that range, I think. You know,
cause I agree.
Because if you're always just serious,
right?
Who the hell wants to be serious all the time?
Yep.
You know, but now
who wants to be around that person?
I know.
You're boring.
Exactly. Yeah. who wants to do that? But with that said, okay, so the last question is there a, and of course if you can, right, a Jenny original OG quote or something that's like that makes you think about resilience over the years? It could be a quote, an adage, a saying, or something you've heard that makes you think about not giving up and pushing forward.
One of the quotes that I always say, a lot of people that know me will always hear me say this, and you know, the right scenario.
Yeah.
But I always say, turn your stumbling blocks into stepping stones.
Oof. I'm about to break this thing on Jenny today. I love that.
Yeah. One more time for us. All right. Just one more.
No, I'm saying, say it again.
Turn those stumbling blocks into stepping stones.
Boom. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. And so for people that are watching, so first and foremost, I'm a big believer in that time is the one asset we don't get back. Mm-hmm. So you spending it here with us today means the world to me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course. and I'm excited. You know, I hope a ton of people reach out to you, obviously, after seeing this. But where can they find you? Where can they engage with you in the business?
Yep. Social media. Social media is king, right?
King and queen.
Instagram, onestophop_partyrentals. Yep. On our website. We're on Google. We were featured on the news just last year.
Cool.
We're easy to find.
Good.
Just hit us up.
One Stop Hop. I love that play. One Stop Hop. I love it.
Yes.
I love it. But you know, thank you again for your time. And you know, we're super excited. I can't wait to continue to see your growth just happening.
Thank you so much.
And everybody out there, create a great day and go give Jenny a follow out there. One Stop Hop. Go check it out.
Thank you.
Bam.
Wow.